Good evening, I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
And you're watching Consider This. Tonight on the show, I'm delighted to announce our guest today is Zulkifli Anwar Haq, or better known as Zuna, the political cartoonist. And, you know, you've been on Sharad's show before, but Zuna is back on the show now to talk about his second book, launched in Malaysia Baru called Cartoon Anti-Racism, or Cartoons Against Racism. And this is quite interesting, Zuna. Welcome to the show. I'm very happy to have you here because I want to ask you why you've decided to shift away from, you know, most of your books have been focused on politicians, focused on the fight against corruption, and now you've decided to tackle racism. Why the sudden shift?
Actually, it's the same thing. I've been doing the same things. Last time, corruption is very serious. Now also serious. Mm. I'm not saying not serious, but during that time, the corruption. I need to really tackle corruption issues. And when we fight, we have a new government. Now we say there are some of them being charged with corruption. Yeah, especially the top one. So I think when we change the government, people talk about Malaysia Baru. Mm. But what is Malaysia Baru? Well, Malaysia Baru. That's why I said Malaysia Baru is not about changing a political party alone or changing how the government should be governed the country. But the important thing is the mindset of the people. If mindset of the people haven't changed, there is no Malaysia Baru.
I do want to ask you, this is very interesting because depending on how you look at it and depending on the issue, people have very different definitions of what racism is, yeah. Right? There's a conflict. In fact, sometimes you find that if somebody criticizes somebody for being racist, they will be told that they're also being racist.
So then pointing it out, right?
Yeah. Yes. And then it just becomes this thing where, oh, no, you're racist. No, you're racist. Yes. And then, so there's a real confusion about what we mean by racism. So perhaps, since this is the underlying, the foundations of your newest book, tell us, what do you understand racism to be?
You know, what is the best garden we could have? A garden, yeah. The garden with full of flowers, with different flowers and different aroma. So it becomes a very beautiful one. Why? They have so different colors. You can see these flowers got so different colors. So it is important to say they are all beautiful and they smell very good. So only then it makes a good garden. But you can't say that I love this flower, I need to get rid of others. This is how you have to understand it. The same with us. We are a human, we have a different races, we have a different culture, we have different language. It is important for us to say everyone have their own way, and this is beautiful. This is so diverse, and we need to respect this. To respect rather than to discriminate. Mm. So respect first. Okay, you have your own language. I respect this. You know, I need to learn, and I want to learn. I want to understand more about you, and you need to understand more about me too. That is why that is the principle of race and racism. Yeah. So we can't say as long we respect each other's. As long as we want to know each other better, I think this is okay.
Right. But so it's not wiping out difference, it's accepting difference?
Accepting. We need to accepting it.
Okay, so acceptance
diversity is good. It's a strength. Diversity is a strength.
So you talked about lack of respect, right? But I think it also boils down from a lack of understanding. So you can't respect something you don't understand. Now, I'm just wondering whether there is that desire to understand the different races. So maybe, you know, sometimes we are so insular in our own lifestyle, own culture, own heritage, our own identity, that there is no, I guess, outward need or feeling of need to understand someone of a different race, of a different culture.
Yeah, we don't understand, it's okay, but you don't hate. So you don't discriminate. So the thing of maybe some people live in the jungle, yeah, in the remote area in Malaysia, they don't understand other races. They don't need to understand that. The important thing is you can't hate. When you start to hate, you start to create, you know, you start to discriminate. That's the issues. If you don't understand, it's okay. If you understand, fine. But if you don't also, for me, it's no problem. But when you start to hate, you start to discriminate, you start to say, you are the best. Only my race is superior than others. They say the word ketuanan nowadays come out because you are saying you are the best. So for me, it's how to understand this. You need to understand the principle. The important thing is the principle. Mm. If you know the principle that we against, yeah, I would like to ask this question. It's a very simple question for us to understand. You to be born a certain race, is it our choice? Is it your choice? No, it's a God decision. So when we understand this is God decision, so we think that, okay, we need to respect God creation. So there's no way we can hate each other.
I do. Right, I see hate is very interesting, yeah. Because in fact in the global discussion about racism, and hate is actually an important emotion that attaches to racism, right? And I remember Yasmin Ahmad in many of her films tries to explore that. Where does the hate come from? Yes. You know, and in one of her films, I believe it's Sepet, because they all seem so similar, but the one racist character, and he's actually racist against other Malays, in a strange way, he's like the cosmopolitan liberal Malays. It comes from a feeling of inadequacy. He has personal problems, and that drives the hate. Mm. So you take your personal problems. How do you see hate? Where does hate come from? Is it coming from our politicians? Is it coming from our neighbors? Where is hate?
Our parents, our family. Is it inherited?
Schools.
The one you mentioned is maybe one or two isolated cases. Which is I'm okay. People some people have a reason why. Mm. A personal reason, for me, that is not a big issue here. The big issue is the systematic. So for me, hate comes from, first of all, sorry to say, the education system. Because this is the system. The system will create, the system that can create, can give a big impact to the society. It's one or two individuals, maybe not so much. But the system that create this. You see, when we split and when we start the first day in school, what happened? We already split. And we speak a different way to different race. You know, at the school level. So people don't we start to promote hate. So this is, and this, For let's say we're talking about only 40%, student, then it will continue until he becomes somebody.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation with Zuna right here on Consider This. Make sure you don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, with me Sharad Kutin, and we're chatting tonight to the political cartoonist Zuna, who has just launched his 19th book. It's titled Cartoon Anti-Racism, or Cartoons Against Racism, and an interesting departure from his commentary on corruption, now talking about racism in Malaysia. Zuna, just before the break, you talked a little bit about systemic racism, about hate between races, so to speak. Now, I would argue that many Malaysians out there say that they are not racist, that they have friends from other races, that they grew up with friends from other races, and that this is just a few bad apples in Malaysia that's, you know, creating this image of a hyper-racist country, a very partisan, or you know, the gulf between the races is getting bigger. So how do you address that? Because in your book itself, you talk a bit about growing up in Pendang Kedah and your experiences with other races. Many Malaysians, myself included, Sharad included, share a similar background, share similar stories growing up, and we don't consider ourselves racist. So who are you calling out as racist in your book?
First of all. We should understand that it's in the community level, maybe we don't have this. You know, people live in Malaysia, people live together. Right. We know that we go to tetare together. It's not an issue. But it's getting worse now because they are a group, some a political group. They use this for their political agenda. So they start to create something to create hate, yeah, to create hate among each other for their benefit. This is only for their benefit. So they want to monopolize the race, one race. Mm. So in order to get the support from that race, so they try to be champion, yeah. They try to be champion of the race. They put things that we are the savior of you. You know, they will say to you now, you know, they create fear first, say that, no, the government is not helping you.
Okay, so the racism is being fanned by the political parties.
By the political parties. Okay. And it's become worse day by day. And the problem in Malaysia, it become ugly, you know, day by day, anything. Car accident.
Yes.
So people say, oh, this is racist, you know, Malay, you know, hit Chinese, no, we cannot accept this kind of things.
It becomes a racist.
Racism. Mm-hmm. Everything will be looked from the racist eyes. So this is very, very dangerous. You see, other country, the problem we have in this country is like this. You know, the other country, EU, as an example, is a very strong step against racist remark or racist comment by anybody. Yeah, you see, I'm as one of the example. You know Tintin comic?
Yes.
Do you know?
Yes.
Okay, Tintin is very famous around the world. Do you know that Tintin number 2, Tintin in Congo, was banned, still banned by EU? Because why? The word Negro in it. Oh. Because of the word Negro. So the government, the body, takes step, and the word race is banned in Paris, in France now. But the problem we have here, sorry to say, the Prime Minister attended
Congress Marwan Dayu.
So you give a wrong
signal. It feels
signal.
Like an endorsement, are you saying?
I universities are very involved in that too. But so let's go back to the in some ways, the origins of Malaysia, because democracy plus nationalism built this country, and the country was built on these two dynamics, right? So, you know, recently at the Georgetown Lit Festival, which just concluded, a historian talked about Tunku Abdul Rahman, you know, part Malay, part orang Siam,
yeah?
And you talk about your Kampung Siam. He went high school in Thailand, and we know from historians like Chanwit Kasasiri that at some point the Tunku himself said, and he could have become a Thai civil servant, he said to the king, the late king, I cannot speak to you in Thai in public anymore. Mm. I have to become a Malay leader. Yeah. You know, so this is very interesting. Mm. People suppress their own mixed identities because politics demands that you have a single identity and you mobilize people.
Right. Yeah.
So is the problem democracy? Is the problem nationalism?
Yeah, the problem is like this. The problem is in Malaysia. Yeah, in Malaysia, what the biggest problem we have is We really don't want to recognize citizen as a first and paramount thing. We are citizen. We are Malaysian. We cannot say this.
You mean in
terms of the country, not in terms of identity? Yeah.
Oh, not in terms of identity.
Social. Yeah, you have cultural. You can have your own culture, but in terms of govern the country, in terms of how we look at the system, it must be like that, because if not, it will create social injustice. I think in the book very clear. Mm. In the book, in that some pages I put it. Look, we have become many times. I put it very simple about our right and responsibility. There are two things how we govern the country. The two elements is very important. The right is the responsibility is the what citizen do for the country, but the right is what the country gives to the citizen. It must be level, but we don't. As example, when collecting toll, there is no Malay toll, Chinese toll, Indian toll.
Example. At the highway.
Yeah, and then people give the same thing.
Yes.
But when you want to give a scholarship, we start to split by race. This is social injustice. We can't govern the country like that.
So, following your logic, and I agree wholeheartedly with you, is the question of the way in which, at our origins, we accepted differences. our poet laureate Usman Awang talk in Sahabatku, his famous poem, he talks about this split. Yeah. At the very start of the nation, we had Bumiputra and non-Bumi.
Yes.
We had natives and non-natives. Yeah. That is the heart of our constitution. How do we change that? Do we go back to our constitution and demand equal citizenship?
Actually, we have Rukun Negara, but nobody practice it. Rukun Negara is about equal citizenship. Yeah, we have the same thing. You see, this is I really think that we really need to, when talking about govern the country, there is no way we can have two level of citizenship. We need to have say, okay, we have a different culture, yes, we have different language, yes, we have different food, yes. But when it comes to govern the country, we are one citizen. How many people live in the world? How many type of people? It's only three type of people. Whether you are citizen or non-citizen or you are illegal immigrant. We need to have these three things. We can't have citizen, but you are Malay citizen, you have different thing, you are Chinese citizen. No, we can't do this. This is what happened here in Malaysia, but we can't progress. Finally,
we're going to come back and continue this conversation, especially how we can move the conversation forward and what you're doing through your cartoons to get people talking about racism in Malaysia. That's coming up next on Consider This. Stay tuned. Thanks for staying with us on Consider This. Melissa and Sharad here tonight. We're chatting to Zulkifli Anwar Haq, or better known as Zunar, the political cartoonist, with his new book, his 19th book, Cartoon Anti-Racism, or Cartoons Against Racism. Now, coming back to the...
If I can interject.
Sure, interject.
Cartoons. This man's cartoons might not make you laugh, ha ha. I mean, they make you think. It's a different kind of cartooning, right?
Which is perfectly setting up my next question, because I do want to know why you think cartoons are the best way to address what you consider to be a huge problem in Malaysia. I mean, is this the right way? Are we expected to laugh about it? Are we expected to think about it? What is it that you hope to achieve with this book?
Yeah, first of all, but in general, cartoon is a very powerful medium. It's the most powerful communication medium, not only in Malaysia now, all over the world. So for me, why I went to use a cartoon, because I'm a cartoonist. So I'm born with talent. So for me, it is important to use my talent to educate people.
Right.
So this cartoon, my cartoon is about education. So I will put I'm not talking about education in the school. What I'm talking about to educate people about the issue. So that has been my cartoon all the way.
Yeah.
So I'm not just draw cartoon to make people laugh and forget about it. No, I want to say this is the issue. Okay, then from that issue, I create a cartoon. People can laugh 10%.
Yeah, you know, it's slightly different from your previous works about corruption, right? That, you know, there was an element of caricature, and people would be amused to see some of the characters in your work,
especially the former first lady.
People will look at hair, at the hair and comment, or look at the nose and comment. You know, and that would be a draw to the work and the underlying message about anti-corruption. But this hits close to home. When you talk about a message of racism, this hits very close to home and sometimes uncomfortable to read. And there's really no satire in here. And you're not caricaturing anyone, but rather a commentary on the education system, on the way we celebrate Merdeka, on the way we are raised, and how politicians pick on certain, you know, racial incidents to get votes, to get political mileage. This feels different.
Yeah,
you
see, I just came back from Ohio. I attended American Editorial Cartoonist Conference. In that conference, everybody support Trump.
They support Trump?
Yes, because they are cartoonists.
Oh.
No, it's easy to draw. So I just introduction. You see, we can't have that character all the time. Yeah. So we need to change. We need to change the direction. For me, my cartoon mission was to save the nation, and now to rebuild nation. So this is
that's right. You have a little thing.
Rebuilding, yeah.
Nation rebuilding.
So I need,
okay.
I need to change. We need to keep changing based on the situation we have before us. So that's what I'm doing. So I can't. People say, yeah. When people see me say, now we already changed government. We already got what we wanted. What else you want to complain? People will say that. I said, no, our job is not finished yet. We really need to rebuild the nation. Yeah. So the direction and the way of cartooning is different a bit, but I still maintain the same. If you look at the previous cartoon, they also education about corruption actually. But of course, I have someone that really cartoonable, so easy to make out of it. And easy to get people emotion during that time. People are very angry, so easy to get it.
Yeah.
But now is I have a different challenge at all. People all don't want to look at my cartoon anymore if I still continue to do that.
Right. So I have, to evolve.
Yes, I have to evolve. I say this is what people need to be, what we need to be done together now. To rebuild our nation, and we all, everybody now, have to take part.
Mm.
You know what I do think is interesting, that, and I wish this book, and I'll send a copy personally to the Minister of Education. Say, please put this in our schools, because schools have a curriculum that talk about harmony. They talk about racial harmony, ethnic harmony. So that's not actually absent, but it is. The thinking behind the curriculum on harmony that I worry about, it's the theory that you have, the understanding that you have, is different from what is the standard harmony curriculum,
yeah.
Right? This is why for 60 years we've been talking about harmony, but we don't necessarily have harmony, right?
Yeah.
What is going wrong? Where is the gap? What is missing in the thinking of educators, the ministry, our politicians? They all talk about harmony. Nobody says, oh, we want to fight. Well, some people do.
Yeah.
Small. But
it's just a lip service, yeah? It's just a word to balance things. People say, okay, we also have this. Do we have democracy? Oh, we have parliament. That's a normal thinking of every politician. But it needs a willpower to really go to the root of the problem and say, I want to change this. And when you do this, you become not popular among a race or the voters. But the politician, you may be sacrificed. You have to sacrifice your position. Might be, you know, but we need to go this. You see, when people say, okay, we have like, you say, harmony. Yes, what type of harmony? If you still, people still hate each other,
right.
We still have a university just for one race. Where is the harmony we're talking about? Where education system should be the education for all.
If I could just interject. The issue of harmony, so people will defend, say, Mara, for instance, as a Bumiputra institution. They say that ours is not racist because we're not attacking anybody. We're just trying to protect people. And much of the discourse around preferential treatment for Bumiputra natives has been about protecting.
Yeah.
You know, it's not so much you don't like the other race, but actually the other race is more competitive, is more powerful, is richer. We need to protect ourselves. So how do you work against this idea that these forms of exclusion are actually bad? You're saying it's bad. They'll say, no, it's good because it protects the weaker segments of society.
No, you keep protecting things. It's not good for the future. Yeah. You think, example, you think you by protecting Malays, civil spoon them, it's good. No, it's not good for long term. So they become very complacent, and it's not competitive enough. So it's not a good way. No, you are saying that again. Go back to my early comment about politicians try to portray they are the champion of this group by say, now I'm protecting you, and I create a problem. I am the problem solver for you. So please vote for me. Without me, you won't be protected anymore. So it's dangerous for you. You better don't vote others. So this thing that we need to really clear, what is protection? Protection means you really need to, in terms of education, I think it's about merit. There is nothing else. So only that we can progress as a nation.
Merit.
Zuna, in the minute that we have left, I want to know when in your mind when you were creating this book, when you want readers to digest your work, what is it that you're hoping for them to achieve or for them to have to make mental notes about? What is it that you want in terms of the conversation about racism in Malaysia? What is it that we should be thinking about when we read your book?
No, I want to give a things, a fact that people can argue. Many Malaysians, when they talk without argument, they don't have argument. They just simply say things because somebody say it or because Facebook say it. So I want to say, look, do argue. Read my cartoon and do argument. If you argue, it won't happen. It may be the problem is not as big as that. So by argument, that's why education is very important for you to understand this. And you understand you can argue from Islamic principle, from the humanity principle, from other religions principle. We argue this. So people cannot, when you argue, it will be less and less problematic.
To have discourse about it. All right, gentlemen, that's all the time we have on the show today. We will be back same time tomorrow, Sharad and I, on another episode of Consider This. Good night, and thank you for watching. Thank you, Zuna.
Welcome. Yeah.